We have a special guest with us. It is a great, great privilege for us to have Alina Asina with us. She is a full circle speaker for Operation Christmas Child, something that we have been heavily invested in the last few years. And I think this year, Kay, correct me if I'm wrong, but are we shooting for 1,000 boxes? 1,000 boxes to go forth from Monroe City First Church of God to share, to give a tangible demonstration of God's love and grace. So, we need to do a little sorting right now, and so you need to listen carefully. Normally, this is a time we send children to crossroads. All children, first grade through fifth grade, stay here. And we have a monitor at the door. If you try to get out of here, Julie's going to kick you back into play, and Megan. Okay? We want you to hear what Alina has to share with you, because we think you're plenty old enough and mature enough to understand the impact and what this is all about. So you stay in here. The rest of the younger children, preschoolers, three-year-olds through kindergarten, may go to Children's Church, Crossroads. If you're 3 years old through kindergarten, older children, stay in here. Do we understand? Yes. Great. We'll let that sort out. This young lady, she's going to tell her story, so I won't say a lot about it, but it's exciting for us to have her here. Also, I want to recognize Jeff Coates and his wife. If you guys would stand up and wave at everybody. They were with us at our last packing party, and they are regional coordinators, area coordinators. And also, we have a gentleman, I think his wife, Eddie, I know him as Eddie. Eddie, would you stand up? Eddie does the collection center over in Washington, and that's where we pack our boxes into big boxes and take them to Eddie. Eddie makes sure that they get shipped to North Carolina? Boone, North Carolina. So, and then they go around, literally around the world to tangibly show the love of Jesus Christ. And the children that receive shoe boxes also have an opportunity to get followed up with a discipleship program. And so it's just a marvelous thing. That's all I got to say about it. It's a fabulous, miraculous God thing. So let's give a warm Monroe City welcome to Alina Asina. Alina.
Good morning, church. Thank you for allowing me to come here this morning and to share with you how God brought a miracle into my life in the form of a box. So my story starts before I was even born, because God already had a plan for my life. In the year of 1993, missionaries from Indiana went overseas to a closed country in Central Asia, and there they planted a church and started to proclaim the gospel to the people of that country. And in the year of 1994, among those people was my mom. And for the first time in her life, she heard of the name of Jesus. And that year, she accepted him as her Lord and Savior. In July of 1997, I was born into this world. And about 30 days later, my father, who is and was an unbeliever, gave my mom two choices. It was either going to be him or God. And my mom made a very hard but bold decision and chose Christ, which meant that she would not have a husband to go through life with, and her children wouldn't have an earthly dad. But I praise God for the boldness and the faith that my mom had to make such a hard decision. So I grew up, and I was raised by a single mom, and I lived with one sister. And we grew up in poverty. My mom worked tirelessly 12 hours a day. At one point, she worked as a teacher, and she earned $50 a month. And although it was worth more back in the day, it wasn't even enough to cover for our rent. And so we were in need. There were times where we went to bed hungry, and we'd wake up the next day, and we would have no food, and we'd go to school like that. We always had hand-me-down clothes, but there came a point where we just had one outfit. So every morning you wake up and you put on that same outfit. But I grew up knowing who Christ was. I was very, very fortunate to be raised by such a strong woman of God who not only taught me about Christ, but was the biggest example of him to me. And I remember two things as a child. I remember knowing who Jesus was, But I also remember going to church. I was very, very blessed at that time to be able to go to a church safely every single Sunday and learn about Christ. My first book that I received was a children's Bible. And I remember my mom would come home from work really late at night, and she'd sit down, and I'd place that Bible on her lap, and I would just read letter by letter until I could start to put words together. And then I could put paragraphs together, and to me, that meant that I could learn about Christ on my own. And I was excited, and I loved learning more about who he was, because I pictured him as this big, great God up there, and he knew every single one of us, and he was all-knowing. And as much as I remember my wonderful mom, I remember my father. He tried to stick around in mine and my sister's lives. And so he would come by our apartment whenever he felt like it, whether it was in the morning, whether it was in the middle of the night. And he'd demand for my mom to leave so that he could spend time with his daughters. But he was very abusive. He was verbally, emotionally abusive. But most of the time, he was physically abusive towards us. I remember a time where he hit my sister so hard that her head hit against his pipe, and my instant reaction was to run. And I ran, and I didn't stop because I was so afraid. And I grew up in that fear. I grew up being afraid for my life. And unfortunately, that perspective of God, my heavenly father, and the perspective of my earthly dad, they started to collide. And I was afraid of God, and I saw him as someone who was ashamed of me, as someone who would shake his head in disgrace when I would mess up. And every time I messed up, I would run from God, not knowing that he was there holding his arms out and wanting for me to embrace him. Growing up in a country that is closed off to the gospel meant that my family and I saw and experienced persecution at first hand. We come from a family of strong Muslim believers who took their faith very, very seriously. My great-grandfather actually had enough money to make the pilgrimage to Mecca. And when he came back, he was a legend in my town. And so for them to have someone in their family who carries their name as a Christian, that was a disgrace. And they were ashamed, and they refused to call us their family. I remember going to church where one Sunday morning, our pastor was gone. And all of us wondered where he went, and we got the news that our pastor was deported. And before he even got there, he was imprisoned. And that was something that we constantly saw. There were times where our lives were threatened. There were times where people would threaten to take mine and my sister's lives, and we had to move overnight so that we would stay safe. I started going to school when I was really young because my mom was always at work, and I had to go to school because I couldn't be at home all the time alone, even though my sister and I pretty much raised ourselves. And that is when I personally started to experience that. At first, you know, no one knew, but my mom, being the strong Christian that she is, would come in and would tell people, God bless you, or Jesus loves you, or try to hand out Bibles to people. And people caught on, and they knew that we believed in God. And everything from there would change. I was verbally, emotionally, but mostly physically abused by not only students, but by the staff of that school. I remember a time where we came from an activity as a class. And out of the blue, my teacher, she grabbed me by my collar and she threw me against the wall. And she looked at me and she said, "Where's your God? And why isn't he here to save you?" And she laughed. And to be honest, at that moment, I wondered the same thing. I wondered where God was. And I wondered, if he was such a loving God, why would he allow this to happen? And why would he allow this to happen to such a little girl? I remember for a long period of time, every morning before my mom would head off to work, I would grab her and I would cry and I would beg her not to send me to school that day, because I just did not want to face another day being mistreated for what I believe in. But every moment she looked at me and she would tell me to trust God and that he was there for me. I remember one special night where my family and I were invited to go to a local church. We walked upstairs and opened the door, and it was a tiny little church, but there were a lot of children and a lot of parents. I was really shy, so I sat at the end of one of the rows, and I started to look around. I was curious what we were doing there, and there was a room that had a bunch of boxes that were stacked on top of each other, and they were colorful boxes. I didn't know what they were, and so I just kind of forgot that they were there. We had a time of worship and a sermon, and then the pastor called all the kids up to the front of the room. And he told us that our ultimate gift in life is Jesus Christ, and that God sent his one and only son to die for every single one of us. And it is a gift that we're all given, but we have to receive it and accept it and accept Jesus into our lives. And as he was saying this, these colorful boxes are being handed out to all the kids there. And a woman places a box into my hands, and it is about this big, and it was purple. I still remember exactly what it looks like. It was purple, and it had pictures of Disney princesses on them, and it was beautiful wrapping paper. And on the count of three, he said that we can open these shoe boxes. And you would expect the room to be like Christmas morning and everyone to be just yelling and excited, but it was really, really quiet. And we were all very confused as to what these boxes were and why we were given them, because we were so unaccustomed to receiving gifts that the phrase gift giving or presents just didn't really make sense. And so one by one, you could see kids opening their boxes, and the excitement just filled the room. And you could just feel that joy growing as you see the kids taking things out of their boxes, like coloring books or crayons or all kinds of toys. And you could just watch the faces of the parents light up as they watch their child open a gift for the very first time in their life. And I remember opening my shoebox, and I found a hairbrush there, a toothbrush, some socks. But in the middle of my box, I found these beautiful pair of pink plastic princess shoes. And I took them out of the box. They're still attached to the cardboard, and I set them down on the ground. And I slipped my feet into them, and I'm like, they are perfect. In reality, they were too big for me. They are not my size, but I've never had anything that was so special and something that I didn't have to share and something that wasn't handed down to me, but something that was brand new and something that was my own. And along with those shoes came a photo of the girl who packed that box for me. And she was around my age, but in the picture, she was wearing a crown that matched the shoes I had. And so it was a set, and she had one piece and I had the other one. And that's when this box really came to life to me, because I realized this comes from that family. It comes from that one person. It's not this big organization just sending aid to poor kids, but this person truly cared. And all of us kids were told to sit down, and they explained a little bit more about these boxes. And they told us that there are people overseas who love God so much that they want to share that love with us. And to me, at that moment, that box, it was a miracle, because I realized that the impossible was made possible. It was impossible for a little girl living in poverty in a country that is so closed off to the gospel to not only hear of the name of Jesus again, but to be able to walk away with that tangible representation of his love. Verse Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And that verse came to life to me at that moment. I realized that I serve a big God with a big heart who cared enough about me to physically show me his love. Because in Psalm 68:5, he's the father of the fatherless and protector of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. And that shoebox was an answer to a prayer that I wasn't praying, but God knew. And my perspective of Christ changed. I realized that this isn't a God who tells us to just grin and bear it because he has a plan. But this is a God whose heart breaks with mine. A God who doesn't stand above me shaking his head at my mess, but he enters into that heaviness and he enters into that mud with me. And how could real unconditional love do anything else? And I had to go on with my life, and the Operation Christmas Child shoebox didn't miraculously change my life circumstances. In fact, there were times where things got harder, but there were times that things got easier. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world." And throughout my life, I learned that Jesus never promised us an easy life, but he promised us a great life with him. And I recognized that I was never alone. And yes, I still had to go on to school, and I was still beaten for what I believed in. I still watched my mom getting insulted. I still watched my family mistreat my family and I. But what was different was that I knew that God was right there with me through all of it. And he was never not there. But my perspective of Christ changed. And this is just one of the messages that are being sent out with these shoeboxes. And I believe that every kid that receives a shoebox receives that message of Christ in their own personal and unique way, because that is the Christ that you and I serve. We were able to come to the States in the year of 2008 and start packing shoeboxes right there and then. And when I realized that this is the same ministry that I was so blessed by, you know, it all just made sense, and I wanted to share my story with everyone because I knew the impact that this made. I remember when I was little, my mom purchased my sister and I a cassette player, and we had one cassette, and it played Christian kid worship songs in English. And one of the songs goes like, "Jesus loves little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world." And I remember my sister and I pondered whether we were the yellow kids, because we looked at all the colors and we were like, well, we're not black or red or white. And I remember we were so happy, and we didn't have a lot, and we were in need, but we knew that God was right there. And I remember picturing God as this big, great God, but he held the world in his hands. But in the picture, I saw myself, and I realized that God calls me precious. And that I may never have an earthly dad who even wants to know me or who loves me or who cares about me. But I can stand firm knowing that I have a heavenly father who not only knows me, but he knows every little thing about me. My deepest and darkest secrets, he knows all that. Yet he looks at me and he calls me his daughter. And this morning I want to remind you that you, every single one of you, is precious in God's sight. You know, we look at those videos of the kids receiving the shoeboxes, and we're like, oh, they're so precious and they're so cute. But that's how God looks at us, because we are all his children. And he looks at us and he calls us precious. And the Lord uses every single one of you to bring glory to his name. And through you, God can do the impossible, because through that family and that little girl, God did the impossible in my life. And so on behalf of 146 million kids that have received an Operation Christmas Child shoebox so far, I want to say thank you. If you have ever packed a shoebox, if you ever gave money to this ministry, if you ever put in any time and effort, I'm here this morning to thank you. And it is a privilege for me to stand here today and see the faces that have made this ministry possible and made that blessing in my life happen. And if you've never packed a shoebox, I want to challenge you this morning to really pray about what goes in that shoebox and to jump in, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And God tells us to go into all the world and make disciples, and that is what we're doing with this ministry. We call them go boxes because they're gospel opportunities. Because it goes beyond just the items in that shoebox. It goes beyond just making a child happy for a moment. It's the message that we're sending with these boxes. And now kids can go through the greatest journey, which is a 12-week discipleship program where they can come back every single week to that church and learn more about Christ. And at the end of that program, they can graduate and they have a big ceremony, it's a celebration, and they get to receive a New Testament in their own language. And for most of that kids, that's the only way that they will ever receive a Bible and the Word of God that is so important in our lives. And this year, your goal is to pack 1,000 shoeboxes. And I believe that you can do it. But I want to challenge you this morning, maybe you should pack 1,001 shoeboxes. And you know, you ask me why. What does that one box do? Well, that's not one box. That's one life. And that's one child. A child like me. A child who's in a very hard situation. A child who feels like life is too hard at the age of 5 and not wanting to go on. And you're bringing hope, and you're bringing light, and you're bringing Jesus through that simple cardboard shoebox. And isn't that amazing, and isn't that exciting that you and I get to be a part of that, because it is such a joy to give than to receive. My mom, this February, packed her bags and moved overseas. She moved as a full-time missionary, and now she's serving the Lord. And she plans to stay there till God takes her home. And I remember the last thing she said to me. She was walking away in the security line, and I had to run up to her one last time. And she looked at me, and she said, "Trust God. Stop trying to understand Him and start trusting Him." And it just took me back to all those days and all those mornings that she would tell me the exact same thing. So this morning I challenge you to trust God. And I challenge you to listen to Him and to be obedient, because that requires a choice. Because God uses ordinary people to carry out His extraordinary plan. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, Alina, for sharing your story with us. Alina's going to be back with the youth during Sunday school time in the youth room on the far end of the gym. So if you want to hear more and you're not a youth, I think we'd probably let you in. We'll probably decide that at the door, but we'll probably let you in and you can hear more of the story. What an amazing story. We're going to close our service, and in a moment, Aaron Cardinal is going to come, our council chair, and introduce to you. This is a time for our church to really trust God. We are moving into a time of transition, and we have formed a pastoral search committee, and we're going to introduce those folks to you today. And they have started their work in seeking new leadership. I think most of you are aware that of my intention to retire in March of 2019, so that's not going to be all that far off. But God, we trust God, because just as God used a shoebox to change Alina's life, so God works ahead of us and does miracles, and God's got this, is what I believe. So worship team, come and sing "In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified." In our church, Lord, be glorified. In our lives, Lord, be glorified. So may that be our prayer, our meditation. I don't know that it sings well, but we could sing, "In our shoeboxes, Lord, be glorified." I think, can we try that verse? "In our shoeboxes." We can make that work. Let's worship together. Stand with us. "In my life, Lord, be glorified."